Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Charles Stanley say this, amen. And so I took that profession to myself. I just go back. I never got the mind when I came on this side to go back. Amen. I'm so glad that mind never came to me. God took my mind. Hello, somebody. I told the Lord some not many years ago. I told him when I heard this man say this, and it kind of connected in my spirit. I said, Lord, while I'm still saved, if any time it comes to my mind and you see my future, and you feel like and you know that I'm going to turn away from me, take me while I'm still saved. Hello, somebody. So I can make it in. And he said, Mommy, you know what? That's my confession, too. He said, I made that same confession. While I'm still saved, amen. If I have a mind to go back, God, take me now. Praise God. So when I hear that song, I think about his confession and not his confession, amen, because, amen, if he left here, amen, God saw something we didn't see. Hello, somebody. So I know he's in the bosom of the Father. Glory to God, amen. And that song, that's my soul, David, that's my testimony every day. All of my steps. I see, in my little finished mind, I may, I'm liable to do anything.
Yeah.
I know, you know, some of y'all may think you don't, amen, but I'm not going to do or say anything. So outside of myself, amen, in God, amen, when he takes control, praise God, amen, and you got to do this daily because, see, we fight this fight every day. Glory to God, we have not yet made it there yet. Tell them, the apostle Paul said, I have not yet attained. Glory to God, amen. But I'm fighting the good fight. Hello, I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm not obtained yet, but I'm pressing toward the mark. It's a press every day. And except I surrender these members over to God on a daily basis, the enemy not able to reach in. Glory to God. Amen. Having a daily surrender, praise God. Amen. You can't do this sometimes. Amen. Daniel was our prime example when he kneeled three times a day. Glory to God, amen, and prayed before the Father, even when his life was in jeopardy, and he knew that death, amen, could take him at any time because the king had power, but he knew a higher power. Hello, somebody. Glory to God, he didn't take down every third of every lunch hour, three times a day, the Bible said he prayed anyway, and then he got in front of the window, so everybody, come on, sir. See, we got saints that are still in the coffin, hiding the fact that they say, but David said, Daniel, the window, so everybody would know that he loved the living God.
Yeah.
We sung that song earlier. Yes, I love the Lord. Glory to God. He heard my cry. Hello, somebody. When you really love God, everybody know you love him. Glory to God. If you love him today and then there's something else tomorrow. This minute we are on board with God and the next minute is something else. But this is a desirous thing. This is a lifestyle. It's who we are. Glory to God, amen. So we bless the Lord. Glory to God, amen. I just, amen, just going on and on here. And praise God. I thank God for my baby, little sister Jada over there, amen. She loves her pastor and her bishop. Wave your hand, Jada. Praise God. Amen. She got in trouble. She said, Pastor, I got you something. I said, you did? She said, yes. She said, I got it from my party. I said, okay. Amen. The baby was thinking about her pastor. Amen. And just the right color, what I had on this morning. Okay. You must have known what I was wearing this morning. God sent you here. Thank you. I'm going to wear it nicely. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I love her. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Always can remind her of this past. Amen. I'm going to move on to the scripture. But we drop her auntie out sometime and she don't go. Praise God. And amen. But she make it to that front door. She wave and she take off running. She got to come and jump in the car and get a hug from Bishop and Pastor. She all right now. She get down smiling and go back inside. And so one day I dropped my tea off and I didn't see her. I was backing up. You know, you got to be looking where you're going. And so I was backing up and I happened to get ready to pull off and I saw her standing at the sidewalk going, oh, I'm sorry. So I had to run back up there and get my hug. She jumped in the car, got her hug, and she followed out in my pastor. So I love, amen. I love my children, amen. I love each and every one of you. And that's the basics, amen, of my message today. We're going to cover the book of Colossians. Praise God, amen. The very first chapter of the book of Colossians. And I'm going to read, amen, from the NIV version, amen, but I want you to follow suit with me. Not ready to go into the scripture quite yet, but I just want to tell you a little bit about the time of the church at Colossus and what the Apostle Paul was doing and what his letter represented when he wrote to them. How many know when the word of God comes to us, it's for correction and reproof? Am I right about that? Amen. And when we don't receive the word of God and apply it to our lives and make that change, we open the door for suffering and supplication, don't we?
Yeah.
Are y'all still here? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And then when things happen, then we begin to see God and say, Lord, why is this happening to me and what's going on? And I don't know and I don't understand. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know. Hello, somebody. We know and we understand. We like to, you know, put it on God and say, Lord, you know, I'm, you know, tell me. Glory to God. Amen. So we know. We already understand. We already know we ain't stupid. God gave us a mind. Amen. Hello, somebody. Gave us intelligence. And we know when we mess it up. Some may not know the word of God, but your parents taught you right from wrong. And if they didn't, you learned it somewhere. Somebody said, ah, that's wrong. You don't do that. Hello. Glory to God. Amen. So in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Church, the Apostle Paul began to send them a letter. He sent it from prison. And the scripture don't tell whether or not Paul even ever visited them, but he did send them a letter. And it's so wonderful when a ministry or church can call on another leader or another pastor and say, this is going on over here. Can you give me some advice? See, today we don't take advice from our fellow laborers in the gospel because we all know it all, right? So we, you know, God didn't give no wisdom to nobody but me. Am I right about it? So now if you think about this, let's look at it like this. If you break the fuel line of a car, those of you that drive cars or even those that work on a car, you know about a car, the car ain't going nowhere. It won't run because it's got to have fuel. Hello? And if you unplug appliances, take your toaster, your microwave, or even your coffee pot, and you unplug it from the power source, it won't work. Am I right about it? So we understand by knowing that connections to power sources is vital, in not only in the natural but in the spiritual as well, right? If you cut yourself off from the church, if you cut yourself off from the word of God, when the enemy comes up against you, you don't have no knowledge of the word of God, so you're going to deal with the situation the way he deal with it. Hello? Could be linked to danger. But in our Christian growth, we have to understand that whether leadership or whatever the case may be in our power and our life, it's vitally important that we have connections. The Bible says we are not to fail to assemble ourselves together. Am I right about it? Amen. We come together in unity because in unity there's what? Strength. When we come together, I know that when we come in here, we can sit as far apart as we might be gathered as far apart from each other as we want to. But I think everybody may, you know, this morning or last night or something, right? Put on the ordering, praise God. So we smell all right up in here. But there's no connection. And I was always taught back in the Bible days, amen, in the older days, amen, you said, well, that was back then, but it's still the same now, that coals, if you're a barbecue person, you know that if you put the fire and the coals together, the fire is going to keep burning. When you separate them, the fire burn out, right? Amen. So we come together. Amen. And it's important that we're connected. The enemy will keep us separated. He don't want us to come connect. He don't want us to know each other and know each other's spirit. He don't want us to know each other in love. Because when we get to know each other, he knows he's got an army against him. Hello? Because a divided army can't fight together. They fight separately. They don't know. They start swinging all kind of crazy ways. And then you're trying to cut the devil's head off and cut yours out. Hello? Because they don't have no guidance. There's no unity. And everybody's swinging all kinds of ways. Remember in the scripture, Lord God, when one of Israel's enemies come up against them, and God started making noise in the camp to make it look like Israel was coming after them, and they begin to kill off each other. Israel didn't even have to fight that battle. So much confusion came in the camp, they just got up and stopped swinging. Glory to God. That's the way the enemy has tried to separate the body of Christ to keep them so far apart that when you do get up to fight, you're going to kill each other. So he ain't got to fight. Hello? He don't have to fight you. That's why unity is so important. Colossians is a book of connections. And the Apostle Paul, he wrote the letters, but he wrote them from prison or down in the dungeon while he's in Rome. Now listen, some of us, when we're in the midst of our trials and our situation, we might, glory God, portray them as a dungeon or as a prison. We ain't got time to think about what you're going through. Don't go call me and then write me and talk about, you know, is this right or that wrong? I'm going through something myself.
My Lord.
I know it ain't in here. Hello? So the Apostle Paul, amen, had love for the people of God. And no matter what he was going through, he didn't care about his situation. What y'all doing out there? He wasn't free. He was in bondage. But I want to make sure that those in the house of God are behaving themselves according to Scripture and following after the truth. And not after junk. There's a lot of junk out there. Some of y'all listening to junk. So the Apostle Paul wrote these letters, and he wanted to combat the false teachings that were going on around the Colossian church. And so this had started to infiltrate the church of God, and it's still infiltrating the church because people teach what they want to teach, or they teach what the things that people want to hear, glory to God, amen, instead of teaching the word of God, and because they say the word of God is controversial, but how many know that there is controversy in the Bible because it will not agree with my lifestyle? But it was made to be controversial, to get me up out of the mess that I'm in. Hello? So the problem, amen, was combining ideas. Different philosophies going on and so many different religions that they had taken from the paganism and Judaism and Greek and everybody coming and trying to mix this with Christianity, and it just wasn't working. So the Apostle Paul was trying to fix this thing. When you try to mix your belief with different religious behaviors, it becomes Gnosticism or heresy, because there's no truth in whatever's going on. It's whatever feels good, do it. Whatever sounds good, do it. So God, the Word, the true living God, the Bible is not in that. Hello? And so you become agnostic and you're separated from God and from the truth. And you're going on thinking everything is right. No, it's not. Hello? And what is Gnosticism? It's exercising a knowledge or denying Christ as God and Savior. Hello? So Paul wanted to get them to separate the people from that type of thinking because it was an error and it was in the house of God. And these people were concerned, so they wrote to the Apostle Paul. And sometimes you say, well, you know what? Why am I going to ask him, you know, deacon about something, you know, about what the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, and he riding in an old jalopy. We do. He don't know it. He's living in a one-bedroom apartment. But the Apostle Paul was in a dungeon. He didn't have a jalopy. He didn't have a horse or a buggy. Hello, somebody. He had nothing that he owned, but he knew the will of God. He was a source to God. Sometimes you may have to preach from the valley. Huh? In the midst of sickness, on your sickbed, you're going to have to preach the gospel, because if it's in you, it's got to come out of you for the building of the body of Christ. Huh? But Apostle Paul was trying to fix something here. Glory to God, amen. And so he began to tell them about Jesus Christ and how he was incarnate. He really was God in the flesh. And don't get caught up, glory to God, because he's the only way to God. If you try to come in any other way, you a thief and a robber. Hello? So he was telling them, don't get caught up into some other mess or some other garbage. Glory to God, amen. His introduction, glory to God, amen, his greeting to them, he began to thank God for them, and he began to pray to them, praying for you. His prayer. Glory to God, amen. For the sake that I thought about that, glory to God. Paul, he explained how the world's teaching, glory to God, is totally empty. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you compare what the world teaches you to what God has in his plan and what the Bible says, it's empty. Glory to God. It's nothing. Glory to God. Because our eternal destiny is sure, it's set in stone, glory to God. Heaven on earth should fill your thoughts. Heaven on earth, having relationship and fellowship with God right here on earth, to consume you to the point, glory to God, that nobody can put nothing negative, no nonsense into your mind. That's your heart. I know what I have. Glory to God. I mean, they're trying to tell you, yeah, but the Bible said, they'll even read it in scripture, but I know what I know. When you know that you know that you know that you know. Hello, somebody. Yeah. So our love for Christ amen, it has to be able to translate or go from us, amen, to everybody else, to our friends, to other believers, to our spouses, to our children, amen, to our neighbors, to our parents, etc. Everybody ought to know, glory to God, that we love the Lord. You know, I love the Lord. Yes, I love the Lord. Hello? Everybody ought to know, and you don't have to walk around with a sign on your head. Glory to God, amen, but your whole character has to portray that of a child of God, because guess what? I'm just like him.
Amen.
Glory to God, amen. When people see you, they see your look and your character. They say, you know, that ain't nobody but Bethany's child. Can't you see she look, got her nose, got her eyes, you know, she walk like her, look like she even act like her mom. They know that's your child. When people see you, they all say, that ain't nothing but a child of God. She acts like you. Huh? Glory to God. She's got the temperament of Jesus, glory to God, and she don't play on radio when it comes to holiness. He is a man that stands on truth no matter what, and he's not moved by other people's opinion. I don't care what your degree is. I know he's a child of God.
Amen.
Glory to God. So Apostle Paul began to talk to the church at Corinth because they needed help. We're being caught up so much, and we have traditions that we bind the people with. Jesus already spoke out against it, and if you got your traditions and you put down rules and stuff on the people, you ain't even obeying them yourself. Ain't nothing but a bunch of whitewashed walls wearing your white outfit and you wicked on the inside. An open grave, a sucker. You wicked to the core. You want to tell my people, let's take the dust and dust and dust. They won't make it in. I'm paraphrasing here. Glory to God, they won't make it in. Glory to God, and you ain't doing none of that, but you're a leader.
Yeah.
Glory to God. It stops here and goes down through the body. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
So we got to constantly, somebody say constantly. Communicate with God through prayer for one another. It takes prayer to move the hand of God, and it takes faith to believe. Hello. Glory to God. But listen, listen, listen. The key to that is you don't have faith when you don't have words. It's impossible to have faith in God when you don't even know him. The only way you're going to know him is in his word. There's no other way to know him. He's not going to come and stand face to face with you. That's all. Hello? But he sent the word here for you to know him. Jesus said, my word is spirit and it is life. I and my word are one. The only way you're going to know him is in his word.
Amen.
And we've got the word of God. Hello?
Hello.
Then you don't know him. And I understand then why your faith is so weak. But the thing is, in order to get from glory to glory, from one situation to the other, you've got to increase your faith, baby.
Amen.
The only way you can do that is in the word of God. Stop listening to other people and stop listening to the word.
Amen.
Everybody has an opinion, but it don't mean nothing. Glory to God. Amen. And God's not moved by your opinions. Amen. It's the word that moves him. Hello? When God tries to tell my people to come and let us reason together, though their sins be as scarlet, I will wash them whiter than snow. Bring me into remembrance of my what?
Word.
He said, he didn't say, bring me into remembrance of what the preacher said. If it ain't the word of God, bring me into remembrance of what your neighbor said. Bring me into remembrance of what your mama said. Bring me into remembrance of my word. Glory to God, amen. And then you can't bring God back to something you don't know. Glory to God, amen. When you get the Holy Spirit down on the inside and the Holy Spirit becomes your life source, guess what? The Holy Spirit starts searching for a connection on the inside of you so he can help you. But if there's nothing of God on the inside of you, if you have not read the word, you have not heard the word, you have not studied the word is not in your heart. When the Holy Spirit starts searching around there, he won't find anything throughout the world. He leaves. Why? Because you'll start to sin. Hello? But you don't have a connection. You have no word and no strength. So today, amen, I brought you to here, amen, to tell you about my prayer. The Apostle Paul prayed for the Corinthian church. And I'll get there in a minute. And I'm timing myself, so don't y'all go home, mommy. He prayed for them. He had a love for God and God's people. And even when they're hurting, glory to God, this is how God do you, amen. You don't just sit over the people of God just to have a church and have a place to you know, to merchandise, which is what is going on today.
Oh,
in the middle of the night. He'll call a person's name and tell you, pray, glory to God. He'll stop you in the middle of the day and put their name in their face before you. And you'll just start to cry out for that particular person. There's something on the inside that when they have a need, that you're hurting because you can't meet the need, but you're crying out to God, help your life. So the Apostle Paul had written a letter to the Corinthian church, and he was expressing to them his prayer. And so when I read that chapter, in chapter 1, I saw my everyday prayer requests to God the Father and for his people. And I asked him to put a blessing over them. And God told me to speak over their minds. Hello, somebody. God, you put these people in love and targeted people. God should speak over the situation. Hallelujah. And we start, the people that we're praying for, the church of the living God, and our children and grandchildren, our brothers and sisters, and their families. And yes, even though they may be connected somewhere else, glory to God, amen. Doesn't matter, glory to God, amen. Those that are here, those that are still connected, young and old, glory to God, amen, they're still here. Glory to God, amen. And so we pray for them, and whether they're still here or whether they go, we always, always, always pray for them because they're under umbrella of eagle blood. Hello, somebody. So that as I read this, and I read it on in the first chapter, I felt the heart of God for his people. And I thought to myself, this is my prayer. Look at today and say, this is my prayer. And so I remember, and I stopped thinking about the women's conference, and I remember the apostle, the prophetess, Tammy Bird, and when she was ministering to me, and she was speaking to me concerning the blessings of God and how he was doing. See, I'm not moved by people telling me what God is going to bless me with because that's not my central focus. Hello, church. That's not my central focus. Glory to God. And so I was listening to her, a sweet woman, I love her to pieces. And then she said, this was my season, huh? But the thing that caught my ears, woman, she said, because you never ask him for anything for yourself. My ears jumped up. I said, my God. And I said, Lord, thank you. And while she was talking to me, I didn't hear nothing else. So I was talking to God, I thought, I'm searching through my heart and through my mind saying, okay, you know, where? I did ask this, but then he said, okay, that's for so-and-so. Ask for this. And I said, she's right. And I thought to myself, now listen, don't let the enemy put nothing in your head. Just listen to what I'm saying. I never asked him for anything for myself. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I never asked him at any time for anything for myself, because y'all know I did. But I never really asked him for myself. I didn't even ask him for the Cadillac. I told y'all about it all the time. It was never my central focus. That's why God opened that door. Hello. My prayer was always, God bless your children. Someone's taking you somewhere. Hold on a minute. And so I never asked him for that. So even when I talked to you guys about it, I never tried to make it happen. I was just talking in the atmosphere. God do what he do. Hello. Glory to God. And so God did this because my heart was full of all of you. I don't have time to pray for my needs because God told me a long time ago, if you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. I got that. If you don't get nothing else, you need to get that. I got that. So I'm not praying for myself. I'm not asking him for stuff for myself. Glory to God. Amen. Apostle Paul was not praying for himself. He could have been praying, God, get me out of this prison. Get me out of this dungeon. Sometimes they took him all the way down to the bottom, down there in the mess, in the cold, and all that garbage down in the bottom of the prison. He could have been praying, get me out. But he was praying for the people of God. Because they have a desire for God. They just didn't have the knowledge. Hello, somebody. So I remember when our children were babies and Bishop and I were going through one trial after another, God always provided for us. And we didn't need to go into detail, glory to God, amen, but he did it for us. So whatever little that we had, we were grateful for whatever little bit we had. We didn't complain when we had to shop at the secondhand store, Goodwill, shopping mall. We didn't complain when folk had to give us handout bags of groceries. We didn't complain when we had to use candlelight with no electricity. We didn't complain when both of our cars broke and both of our jobs went down. We did not complain when we had to leave our home and move in with my sister and her husband. We didn't complain to God. We were still doing the will of the Father. She's right. So listen, listen at the flesh. The flesh starts saying, we need to start asking God for some for yourself. I know you don't do that. But I've been in the middle of getting prayer for this woman in the spirit, and then we start talking out. I was like, okay, she's right. And all immediately the Holy Spirit took me back into the spirit. I said, I got you.
Amen.
Hello. I got you. So this is my prayer, glory to God, that the Apostle Paul prayed, starting at verse 3. And I'm going to read from the parallel version, glory to God, amen, of International. You just follow with me. Verse 3, verse chapter 1 of Colossians. We always pray for you. And you know what? If you're not a prayer, don't lie and say, I always pray. People like to say, I always pray. They pray every third Tuesday. But he said, I always pray for you. And we give thanks to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for God and all God's people. My God, when you love the people of God, it's noticeable. People know that Apostle Paul said I'm in prison, but it's all noise abroad how much y'all love God and his people. So I'm here in prison praying for you. And he says, you have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. People that are still seeking God. I mean, from the very beginning, ever since the gospel was preached to you, you still had a hunger and a thirst for God. So I'm praying for you. And he said, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere. Yeah. It is changing lives. And just as it changed your life from day over the, from this day over the world, glory to God, you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Stand firm. Verse 7, he said, you learned about the good news of Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. Listen, this man is in prison. You don't know what your leaders are going through when they're standing in prayer for you. You don't know the consequences of their suffering just for you. Hello, somebody. It may look like everything is all right. God said, go ahead and drop something on this. Pick some food over there. There ain't no food that's faster than them. They got it. Bishop said one time, you know, I think people think we got a lot of money. I said, we're talking to you, Bishop, but that's all right. Let us keep making. Our God got everything. Amen. He need our needs. Help us about it. In verse 8, he says, he has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. Glory to God. You love the people of God. You love other people because of your actions. I know how much you love the people of God. Amen. Because you're not sitting down talking about them, but you're reaching out to help somebody. And that's all you guys. Hello? 50-50. Glory to God. Verse 9, he says, so we have not stopped praying for you. We will never cease praying for you. Since we heard about you, since they told me that you love the Lord, since I saw you and your focus on God, I have not, even when you followed, I still haven't stopped praying for you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is my prayer. Lord, open up their understanding, so that their worship will be true, and so that their service will be faithful, so that they'll understand and know who you are, that no matter what they're going through, you are still right there with them. You have never left them. Help them to know you, God.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Give them wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, he said, then the way you live will always honor and praise. most important thing when you're living this life, when you know who God is. Glory to God. When it's in your heart and in your spirit, the things you do, the actions that follow your knowledge, everybody will know that you know God. Glory to God. Because of the life you live, and your lives are going to produce every kind of good fruit. My God, if you don't know the fruits that you produce, go to Galatians chapter 5. Glory to God. If you don't know the fruit that you're supposed to produce, if you got the Holy Spirit, all the while, he said, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. If you're not growing, there's some people that have been 25, 30 years, and they're still doing the same thing over and over and over. That's a witness that they don't know God. It's time to know God. It's time to know who he is, glory to God. When you begin to know God, you become obedient, glory to God, to those that have to rule over you. When you become to know God, you're faithful in your worship to him. When you become to know God, you give your tithe and your offering. You don't have to be prompted and pride. When you become to know God, when you sing his praises, you ain't doing it for a show, but you sing it to glorify him because it's down on your inside, and you just want to glorify God. You come to know God when you play music. You play it to the glory of God. Glory to God. You know God, your dancing is to edify God and to lift up the word of God. When you know God, is there something down on the inside? Glory to God, amen, that make your worship and your service better and better. Let everybody know. Funny how people in the church think that they can live any kind of way on the outside. And folk don't know. I don't hang out with you, but I know what you do. I'm your pastor. God didn't make me your pastor for nothing. Hello, somebody. I'm your pastor. He didn't give me you for nothing. But I'm praying. Just because I ain't saying nothing, I ain't got to beat you up. You belong to God. Oh, glory. I'm going to whoop like he would. Hello. But I'm praying for mercy for you. That's what I'm praying for. For mercy, for long suffering. Because God got a way of bringing us back. Bishop always said, bring us back around to where we're supposed to go. And so verse 11 says, we also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glory and power. Hallelujah. That glory to God, you will have all the endurance and patience that you need. See, some folks say they think they ain't got no patience. None whatsoever. I don't care if I heard him get through it. I heard you. I got things to do. Get to the point. No patience with nobody. He get on my nerves. I get tired every time I look around here. No patience with nobody. They got to move. How to get to the point, guys. You go, come on. Move that stuff out of the way. No patience at all. No tolerance, but we want God to be patient with us. Amen. We reap what we sow. So we pray for God to give them the strength to endure, glory to God, and to stand and to have patience. Because one thing about it, if you don't start being patient and start enduring, God will allow the lessons to come. He'll just step back. See, he ain't putting nothing on you because it's already out. The consequences are already out there for your actions. The rules are already been made. See, the same, you have to understand the word of God like this. If you run through that stop sign out there, that stop sign is there to save your life. Hello. It's there to save your life. So you have to obey the rules. The rules are there to save your life. The rules in the word of God are there to save your life. If you run through that stop sign and get hit by a transfer truck, whose fault is that? You want to sue the city? Your family wants to sue the city? You don't want to broke the rules. So when God set the rules out there in the word of God and we break the rules, he didn't kill you. You killed yourself. Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Your actions condemn you. So when you say, Lord, I ain't got no patience for this child, she's getting on my nerves. You got to teach me patience. And all hell breaks loose around you. Did you ask for it? You got it. Toyota. Help. You get just what you asked for. When you say, Lord, teach me. See, like I tell you all the time, God don't talk like I talk through the microphone. I don't tell you what comes from my mouth. But God starts talking to me at Israel. The mountains start shaking. The earth starts quaking. You start losing some stuff. You go to the bank and try to put your ATM card and then spit it back at you. Mike will cuss you out because they not in there. You hold this for money. You go to work, glory to God, and you get fired off that job that you love so much you've been there 20 years. And they just say, you know, we downsized and we don't need you no more. When God starts talking, things start happening in your body and nobody don't know. There's no cure for it. But when God starts talking, it's because you step out of the safety zone, glory to God, and you step out into danger. So if you got the option and you know that you're not patient, you better get some patience. Don't ask God to teach you nothing that you can do yourself. Because baby, his lessons are not like ours. So my prayer is, God, let them move in an area that they know that they need to fix. Let them fix it themselves so that you don't have to fix it for them. Hello? Somebody say, this is my prayer. Verse 12, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. Verse 13, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Verse 14, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is supreme.
Amen.
Lord, help your people to know that Christ is supreme, that he already purchased their forgiveness. He already purchased their salvation. Glory to God. The rabbi told us on Wednesday night that when you see the word salvation in the Bible, it's really translated as Yeshua, which is Jesus, because Jesus is salvation. When Hebrews chapter 10 and 26 says that we willfully sin after we knew the truth, we knew the word of God, and we willfully sin, he said, there's no more salvation for you. That means that the Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, is not of yours. And so when they say, what save all, say, I say, it's different. Now watch yourself. Holiness without no man shall see the Lord. We're so into what they say that's easy. We think we're just gonna fall all over into the blessings of God and fall. You know, I just stumbled in there, but I don't know how I got here, but somehow I was walking, I tripped and fell. It ain't gonna work like that. Glory to God, amen. I don't know what happened, amen, but I just fell over into the blessings of God. They're running me down and overtaking me, and I'm still living like hell. It don't work like that because Jesus himself said that the food is for the children of God. The bread belongs to the children of God. If you get a crumb, it's because you're close to me, then that's fine. All well and good, but the bread belongs to the children of God.
Amen.
Verse 13. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. In verse 14 says, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is supreme. We can't say that enough. Christ is supreme. He is supreme. Anything else anybody else is teaching is nothing but Christ is supreme.
Amen.
He is. Verse 15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God.
Yeah.
Amen. Everything you need to know in God is in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Jesus himself said, why are you looking for the Father? Have I been so long with you and you don't know me?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 We got people in the house of God right now. They are looking for even of a whole shunda. They are looking for God. When are we going to come to the truth and the reality of who we serve? Glory to God. When are we going to get to know our God? He said, I came to reveal him to you. I came to show you the Father. I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. You know me, you know the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. Get the word of God on the inside and you'll know the Father because he'll be in you. Comes a reason on the inside.
Yeah.
There's something that comment can't wash out. And no matter what nobody tells you, glory to God, you won't take down because you know this thing now.
Yeah.
Glory to God, when you know that you know, that you know. You don't hear nothing nobody else got to say. Glory to God, amen, because you already know the truth. Glory to God, amen. He is the supreme creation. And 16 says, glory to God, for through him, God created everything. Now listen, this is awesome. My prayer is that the people of God will understand all over the world, glory to God, stop making this a formality or just something to do. He said, for through him, God created everything in the heavenly, created them in the realms of the earth. Everything God created, he made the things that we see and the things we can't see.
Amen.
Through him, through Christ Jesus, the thrones, the kingdoms, the rulers, the authorities, the unseen world, whatever it is, everything comes through Christ Jesus. Everything was created through him and for him.
Amen.
Glory to God. God created us for him.
Amen.
That he would get the glory out of our lives. And he can't get the glory out of our lives if we're not living the life. People won't come to God if we're living like hell. The world ain't going to come to God because you're still doing the same thing you was doing out there with them. They ain't going to know God because you ain't no different. You still cussing. You still getting mad at everybody. Nobody can touch you unless you're screaming and yelling at them. You're still sleeping with Jody and Judy. And Jody and Judy. You're still doing everything contrary to what the word of God says. Who going to know God through you? Nobody. Glory to God. But he existed. Verse 17. Before anything else. Glory to God. He existed before anything else. And he holds all creation together. Verse 18. Christ is also the head of the church. Whoa. Which is the body. If you are the body of Christ, Christ is the head of you.
Yeah.
Glory to God, if Christ is not your head, guess what? Your body is dead. They say in the world, if you kill the head, you kill the body. Am I right about that? If Christ is not your head, then your body is dead. Glory to God, he is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Put God first. Y'all need to get him off the back burner. Stop putting him first in everything. Everything you do, put him first. In your fire. Okay, all right. Somebody got mad. Everything. If you want him to bless it, make him Lord over it. If you want your marriage blessed, make him Lord over it. If you want your children blessed, make him Lord over them. If you want your neighborhood blessed, make him Lord over the neighborhood, over your home, over your work. If you want your work blessed, make him Lord over your work. I never stop praying for my work. They prosper. I said, Lord, make them prosper. I'm going to prosper. I got a dog. Hello. I prayed constantly for them. When they went praying, I still prayed for them. God brought them back alive. Always, always know that he's Lord of everything. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood. It's the blood. I still plead the blood of Jesus. I have graduated from that. I know back in the day it was powerful and people pleaded the blood of Jesus over everything. My kids used to be shamed. We'd be in the grocery store and I said, the blood expected, the price wasn't right. I said, the blood of Jesus, the devil is alive. God, you must keep the blood of Jesus over everything. I said, that's right. But when I get to the register, I want to be able to pay for this food.
Help.
We got to eat.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Amen. The blood still works.
Amen.
Try it. Plead the blood. I never leave home without pleading the blood over myself.
Amen.
I plead the blood over all of you all the time. Over this church. Over the ministries in it. You have to apply the blood. The blood of Jesus still works. Satan can't touch the blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glory to God. The blood still works. 21, this includes you who were once away from God. Those who were his enemies, separated from him by their evil thoughts and their actions. Verse 22, yet now he has reconciled them to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body, resurrected up in a spiritual body. God ordained and he predestined, but he brought them back He reconciled them back to himself through the blood of his son Jesus. Even though they didn't want to have nothing to do with God, they still can come to him now through the blood of Jesus. So the writer of the Apostle Paul says, as a result of that, he has brought you into his own presence. Somebody say, I'm in the presence of the living God. And you are holy and blameless as you stand with him without a single fault, but it takes the blood of Jesus. You have to have the blood of Jesus. He has to be your Savior. Glory to God. And if he's your Savior, those sins that you were supposed to be judged for, those sins that were supposed to take you to your grave, those sins that were supposed to have you, glory to God, destroyed, guess what? You are forgiven. God has dropped the charge. Amen. To the glory of God. Amen. That's a praise for Christ. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And verse 23, my final verse says, but you must, somebody say you must, continue to believe the truth, which is the Bible. And you must, somebody say you must, stand firmly on it. Don't drift away from the assurance when you know that you know, that you received, when you heard the news from the very beginning. Don't waver. The good news has been preached all over the world, and the Apostle Paul said, I have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. I say to you today, I have been appointed from long ago as God's servant to proclaim the good news. Glory to God, all over the world. Don't move, don't switch, don't even waver, not one iota. I don't care how good it looks on the other side. I'm a living witness that the grass ain't always greener on the other side. Once you get over there, you'll see those tapeworms and how there's no even no root to it. Glory to God, you'll see the fox, you see the weeds growing up in it. But from afar, it looks real green.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glory to God. Somebody say, this is my prayer. That you people of God will lay all hindrances, everything that's holding you back aside, and draw nearer to him.
Yes.
Finally, realize that your life and your existence here on earth will be much better and peaceful if you purpose in your heart to really, really, really seek the Lord. Never say that you won't have troubles. That ain't what the Bible says. But Jesus said, when you go through the fire, it won't burn you. Even when the waters come up, it won't drown you. He said, I'll be with you in it. But how hard it'll be for you to go through your struggles without Christ.
Amen.
To my list of struggles down when you don't have. It's more devastating than another when you go through without Christ.
Yeah.
It'll be difficult just to waddle through these things. Glory to God. Amen. When you do them outside of the realm of God, they get worse. You start doing things that are not contrary to the will of God. Start doing things out of order to suffer loss without the peace and the strength of God. How devastating that can be, glory to God. You won't be able to physically lean on the Lord as a tangible body, saying, okay, I'm just going to lay my head on his shoulder like you can lay your head on the person next to you's shoulder. But guess what? When you learn the word of God, when you pick up your Bible, amen, that's a symbol of you leaning on Jesus, trusting in God. Amen. I'm not saying take the Bible and put it under your pillow and lay your head on. A lot of people think if I can get the word, I tell you, if you lay it under your pillow from now on, you'll never get the word back, and you still won't be ignorant of the word of God. You can lay there for 25 years and you still won't get no word in that thing. Pick it up and read it. Hello?
Amen.
But that, in that word, spiritually, you're resting on his shoulder. Amen. I cannot tell you, and I can't stress this enough to you, that you need to seek the Lord in his word. Study his word. Seek his face. And every time you hear me, that's where I'm going to be preaching. Bishop tell y'all his testimony that when he got saved, He had been jumping around saying, I got saved and I'm saved and blah, blah, blah. And I told him, I said, now you need to get the word. And he said that kind of burst his bubble because now he felt like I was talking about him. But I wasn't talking about him. And I told him, I said, you need to get the word so that you don't be walking around talking off the top of your head. So you don't know who God is and what he's all about. Outside of his word, you ain't got nothing. You can talk about your opinion. Your opinion don't mean nothing to God if it don't line up with his word. Understand that. Put that in your spirit and keep it there. If it don't line up with the word, obey his word. Obey the Bible. Apply the Bible principles to your life every day. Don't just say you don't vision speak a good word. Pastor preach a good word. And when you walk out that door, you don't even remember what it was or what it was about. Glory to God. Whatever you have to do, if you have to go back to Blog Talk Radio to hear that word again, or bring your phones and record it so you can get it in your word, go home and reread the scripture. Whatever you have to do to get that word, get it down on the inside. If you didn't get it right then, then you won't get it right then. But get it and hear it again and again and again until it becomes rhema on the inside.
Yeah.
This is my prayer. Glory to God. That the word of God from the Bible would be your everyday leaning post, and that your day-to-day livelihood would be in the word of God, that there would be, glory to God, would not be a sweeter aroma to you, that your nostril would never smell anything anywhere sweeter than standing in the word of God, that your senses would tingle, glory to God, at the presence of the living God, that you can feel the tingling. I always know, glory to God, when there's a great power, glory to God, there's a tingling sensation that comes in our nostrils, and I can feel the presence of God. My prayer is that it comes to you in that very fashion, that you know without a shadow of doubt that you're in the presence of the living God. Glory to God, my prayer is that you talk the word of God. Glory to God, as if, glory to God, and it should be, as if it's your everyday, and it's the life of your pathway, and that's your destiny. That's what it should be. Glory to God, because it is, it's really, truly, that's exactly what it is. This is my prayer, glory to God, and in my closing, that you would just stop. Mm-hmm. Stop lying. Stop stealing. Stop cheating. Stop smoking. Dope too. Stop being jealous of one another. Stop this bad anger. Stop sexual uncleanness. Stop thinking. Because God already knows. This is my prayer, that you would change your ungodly habits to godly habits. And get rid of your ungodly associates and godly associates. This is my prayer, glory to God. Because guess what? Until you make that change, everything you do is going to be outside. Everything you do is going to be outside of the rim of God, and you're going to always fail.
Yeah.
Glory to God. This is my prayer. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Let us start out the bomb. Glory to God. But if you don't believe me, hang in there. It won't be awesome from the beginning. Because you're out of the will of God. And it's going to taste good for the beginning. It's going to even feel good. But guess what? Not many days down the road, it's going to explode.
Amen.
And you're going to say, why? Because God has better for you. This is my prayer. Step to your feet and glorify the Lord.
Amen. There is nothing.